Hello and welcome to the Eurovision Division podcast, a podcast where, under normal circumstances, we talk about all songs in this year's Eurovision Song Contest before this year's Eurovision Song Contest. But as you could gather from that intro, these are not normal circumstances. What is normal, though, is that I am your host, Jeroen.
And I am your co-host, Mira.
It's been a while, so I forgot that I have to say who I am.
You have to say who you are. That's the rules of the podcast. Mm-hmm. That's how we open the podcast. Hey, guys.
Hey, gang.
Hey, gang. So, these are not normal circumstances this year, both globally and personally.
Yeah.
So, we thought we would do a short little episode just for people who may not follow us on Twitter but do want to listen to the podcast, just to keep you guys updated. We'll talk about the personal reasons first. Okay. For why we are not doing it this year.
Yeah.
We're not doing it this year.
It's a little complicated, time-wise, mostly, to get it all done right now. Because we have something else going on in our personal lives. And this sounds like we're being vague.
Not a secret.
But it's not a secret, and it's not something that, like, we need to be coy about. But Mira and I...
We're having a baby. And we are having a baby about, I think, 3 weeks before the contest?
Nope. Like 2 weeks.
Like 2 weeks?
Yeah. Three to 2 weeks before the contest, I would say.
My due date is April 21st.
I think rehearsals will probably start by then, you know?
Yeah. Like, it is just not a good time for us to be thinking about Eurovision. We're going to be thinking about baby. And also, you know, leading up to it, because, you know, my due date isn't now. But my health during the pregnancy has not been great. I'm fine. The baby is fine. But I wasn't fine for a little bit. I had a very, very bad anemia because of the pregnancy. And I was, sleeping 16 hours a day for like 3 weeks. And I was not able to really talk or think or do much of anything for that time. And for a long time before that, I just was way too tired to do anything. And I'm still really fucking tired all the fucking time. But I'm a lot better now. And baby's doing great. And we're really excited to Absolutely. Have a little baby.
Yes, I am.
It's going to be so cute.
It's very exciting.
It's so fun. So that's the good news. The bad news is the global news.
Well, yes. So the other way in which it aren't, you know, normal circumstances. Normally, the concept of the show is I'm the guy who follows everything, who listens to all the songs, and then is like, okay, here we go. I'm sharing these with you, and you're reacting for the first time. And the main reason that wouldn't work this year is that when we're recording this mid-March, all the songs should be out by now. And I think I've heard about 5.
Maybe, yeah.
Not so much because I've been, like, actively avoiding them. I've just really not been, like, vibing. I've just not really been in the mood to listen to some light song-hearted stuff.
Some light song-hearted
stuff? Light song-hearted, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's... Especially, it felt like we were kind of waiting to hear about whether or not Israel was going to be doing it at all. And then when the final confirmation came that, yeah, no, they're just allowed to be here. They're just going to do it. Despite, you know, the horrible atrocities that we see perpetrated on our social media feeds every single day that are in the news and everything. It's... We've never liked Israel being in Eurovision.
It's certainly always been a bit of a hot button topic that, you know, hasn't been as We've been able to ignore it in some years, and you know, in hindsight, you might feel a little dirty about that, or be like, "Oh, was that smart? Was that good?"
I have felt bad about talking about Israel and ignoring it,
covering Azerbaijan as well.
Exactly.
Which I know is a different thing, but if we're talking about like, you know, taking the moral high ground or whatever, I'm like, well, that bears calling out as well. Also, you know, I have a dispute over land, in this case with another member country of the European Broadcaster King Union, that has in the past not participated because of that reason. And somehow we're also just like ignoring that when it comes to like the Azerbaijan Armenia thing. It's just, that's also been weighing on me, where I'm like, I understand that what's going on in Israel right now, right, is awful, and we obviously need to like just not be okay with them joining in the fun contest, but there is a degree of like hypocrisy feeling in me of like, is it very hypocritical to have been covering all these other things this whole time, because there have been problems with the way the EBU is ran this entire time, and I'm having a hard time just like, you know,
it's coming to a head this year,
fathoming all those ideas in my head and being able to engage with Eurovision very well at all because of that.
It's sad because, yeah, I haven't heard a single song. I've heard bits and pieces of the Dutch song. Mm-hmm. And I'm sad because I really like it. I haven't listened to it in full, but, you know, just the, you know, Dutch hardcore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, it's history. It's our history. And I'm like, I wish I could engage with this. But I cannot bring myself to really enjoy it.
Yeah, see, at the very least, I just don't feel like it's right at this point to be like, okay, we're not covering Israel, but we are doing a lighthearted podcast where we talk about all the other songs one by one.
Yeah.
In this contest hosted by the EBU, who have explicitly said, we are okay with Israel's participation. We are okay with people voting for them. We are okay with the idea of them winning.
And hosting. We are
therefore also okay with the idea of them hosting the contest. Like, that is all implicitly being said by allowing them to participate right now. And I don't like that very much.
Yeah. I don't know if we would have done something with the podcast if I wasn't also pregnant. But it's just not the year for us.
Yeah, this entire time I've been thinking maybe we can do one where we, you know, discover the songs as it's going along, change up our concept a little bit, don't do it the way we usually do, where we're recording a lot in March and April, which was always going to be like your third trimester very pregnant moment,
where I'm so big,
where
you guys.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be the right moment. So I had some ideas, but then it just, you know, it stayed up in the air and nothing really congealed. So it's just a little message from us, I guess, to say sorry if you were hoping to hear from us, but come on.
Come on, guys. I will heavily recommend anyone who is listening to watch the YouTube channel Verily Bitchy. Her videos on Eurovision really lay it out very well, what our issues with it are and have kind of always been.
She's definitely got a very good view of Eurovision as a, you know, in its political sense, in its global scale, and the geopolitical implications of some parts of it.
They're also just really good video essays. The entire channel, I'm a big fan of the whole channel.
Absolutely.
But specifically the Eurovision stuff, she also has a really good resource that we have used, where she has collected all of the contact information for all of the EBU's broadcasters.
Yeah, all the participating broadcasters are listed there with contact information and a
template.
Of complaint and of concern for their participation in the light of the current situation. So if you do want to do, the least you can do, kind of, if you're uncomfortable with the situation and you want to do something, do contact your broadcaster and tell them that you don't like this.
Yeah.
At the very least, I think. Because this is obviously like a big thing that I don't feel necessarily equipped to decide what the best course of action is vis-a-vis a boycott or not.
We're definitely not going to be voting this year.
Yeah. So that would be my recommendation. Yeah. If you're watching, don't vote. That is money going to an organization that, as I said, is condoning war crimes.
We might watch, but we will also have a maybe 2 week old baby.
In a way, I'm thinking it's a little bit of a blessing that I may not have to watch, because if my 2 week old daughter is sleeping, then
I want to be sleeping.
I want to also be sleeping, and I want to leave her asleep. So if it happens to be Eurovision, too bad.
Oh yeah, it is going to be a girl.
Oh, did we not say that yet?
Say it was going to be a girl.
It's a girl.
It's a girl.
Welcome to the Eurovision Division Gender Reveal Podcast.
She's going to be a girl, at least at first. She can decide against it later.
Can I make that the title of the episode, or is that making, again, too light of everything if I call this Gender Reveal Podcast? I don't know. Just a thought.
That kind of sounds like one of us comes out as trans, though.
Keeps them guessing.
Keeps them guessing. To be fair, I have really enjoyed doing the podcast in the past. I hope we can do it again in the future. I think our audience is really fun to interact with when we do get to interact with you guys. So let's all pray for happier times. Yes.
And absolutely. And I want to say, in addition to all that, doing the podcast and any fan media really is a labor of love that people who love this contest put a lot of time and effort into. That includes, us, and that includes me doing the editing.
Yeah, you do put a lot of time in the editing.
And that includes every single, Eurovision blogger. And there are several of them who have expressed, we will not be covering the Israeli entry, which is one way to take a stand. So I'm just saying, a lot of people are doing this without making any money from it at all, as just a hobby, as a passion project. Stand also to lose anything by speaking out. So if you do have a platform, use it.
Yeah. And I think that's all we got.
Yes, thank you for being with us for this very short little episode. We hope to see you again in the future, but for now, stop scrolling
and good night Europe, and also free Palestine.